Hi guys, and welcome to a new episode of Coffee with Kathy and Claire. I'm Kathy.
And I'm Claire, and this podcast is all about sharing our own personal experiences and struggles with modern day parenting.
And having a few laughs along the way. This show is for everyone, mums, dads, grandparents, foster parents, adoptees, everyone.
It's an outlet for all your struggles and to know that you are not alone.
So pop us on your Bluetooth in your car, headphones in while you're going for a walk, or do what I do and wear headphones while I tackle that never-ending pile of laundry.
Or just take the load off and have a coffee with Kathy and Claire. And welcome back, Jackie. I'm really excited about this part. We're going to go more into, obviously, the types of coping strategies that are available and how we can get into flow. I think we mentioned that on the last episode. And so welcome back to part two with Jackie Rowe.
And I think you touch on a really good point, because even for me, when it comes to meditating, breath work, all them sorts of things, I knew of them and I knew that they were something that would be good for you. But putting it into practice can be tricky.
Yeah.
And so, you know, them practices and that calm in the chaos that you do teach a lot of.
Yeah,
let's sort of in a little bit more enlightenment
more about that.
Yeah, that'd be
okay.
Great.
So I do have a short program which is called Calm in the Chaos,
yeah,
which is going to be recorded and put out there as a training, if you like, to help people to find calm in the chaos. But there are some go-to strategies, and I'm just going to break them down, because I've mentioned them, I'll just break them down a little bit.
Yeah, let's do that.
So the breath work that that I used in the beginning, that I also use in most of my circles, and I do other breath work, but this is one, which is the conscious breath work. So that's often referred to as belly breathing.
Mm-hmm.
So if any of your listeners do yoga and things like that, or they go to meditation, you know, or circle or whatever, then they may have heard of that. So belly breathing is really a practice of a really deep breath, and we call it belly breathing even though we're not breathing into the belly. We're breathing deeply so that we can push the diaphragm down.
Yes.
And I often say to moms, as I've just done with these young moms that I'm working with, if you put your hand on your belly as you breathe in through your nose, because that's the practice, so we breathe in through our nose for a slow count of four, breathe all the way down, push the diaphragm down, and if you've got your hand on your belly will pop out. So you'll feel it as you get that breath deep.
Mm-hmm.
And then I always say stop, hold for 2 seconds. Because in those 2 seconds, there's just absolute peace.
Mm-hmm.
There's this quiet that we're longing for. And then we breathe out through the mouth for a slow count of six. So it's always longer on the breath out. And the intention of the breath is to calm the nervous system. Because often we're in a state, even though we don't realize it, a state of anxiety or stress.
Yeah.
Particularly busy moms. And so our nervous system is sometimes dysregulated. And the sympathetic nervous system, which is fight, flight or freeze,
yeah,
is activated. And we're on edge and we're sort of always waiting for the next shoe to drop type of thing, like this sense of tension and anxiety in our body. So when we use this conscious breath work, it activates the parasympathetic nervous system, which is calm, rest and restore, which is the exact opposite of anxiety. And the way that I teach it is and I give a guide sheet on this, and you can always share it if you would like to.
Yes, please.
So we do a full six breaths. So six full breaths, and a full breath is an inhale and an exhale. That's one. So we do six breaths, and then the six breaths is called one round, and we do three rounds. So it's 18 breaths altogether.
Yeah.
And my recommendation is to women that I work with is the moment you wake up, you do that. You do your 18 breaths. You do it once through the middle of the day, whenever you like, and you do it again before you go to sleep. You can use it as a tool if you're going into a stressful situation, like an interview or a tricky conversation or something like that.
Or any kind of confrontation.
Anything at all. It'll just help you to calm your nervous system down.
When your child's not able to regulate and you've got to regulate yourself.
Absolutely. Huge important point that. Yeah. Because what we're doing in that moment is we need to learn to co-regulate with our child. But lots of adults didn't learn self-regulation as a child.
Mm-hmm.
We're supposed to, but a lot of us didn't.
Yeah.
You know, and it takes, action from parents to teach us how to self-regulate. And for lots of reasons, a lot of adults didn't learn that. So they need to start to learn it in their adult life.
Yeah.
And doing this breath work will help them to understand what it feels like to be calm and present.
Yes.
And in fact, all of us are always seeking a state of calm and alert.
Yeah.
But we seek it often using ways that are not healthy for us. So that might be eating a big bar of chocolate because it feels good, and it does. And every now and again, it's fine. But it can become a habit.
Yeah.
Or drinking. Mm-hmm. A lot of people will have a glass of wine because it takes the edge off.
Yeah.
But then they'll have another glass of wine.
Guilty.
Yeah. Do you know what I mean? But what happens is over time is that becomes another habit.
It's true.
That doesn't serve us really.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with having a drink. But if we're using it to soothe ourselves, which is what we're doing when we get anxious and tense and overwhelmed and stressed, we look for something to soothe our nervous system.
Yeah.
And we turn to things like eating, drinking, spending money, going out, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And so we end up doing things that in the end don't really help us. They don't serve us.
Yeah.
So the breath work doesn't necessarily replace a glass of wine, but it's better for us, and it can really calm the nervous system so that we are regulated.
Yeah.
And then we can then, we're in a position to co-regulate with our child. Because when your child is dysregulated and you become dysregulated, there's no way out of that.
Which I think, I think that's quite a normal way to live in the 80s, to be honest with you. Because even for me, it's just like, I don't recall a lot of like anything, you know, terrible happening. It wasn't like that in my household. But there was definitely moments of like fear, because obviously it would just be like, I'd have to run upstairs and lock myself in the bathroom so I didn't get a wallop on the butt or whatever it was.
Yeah.
You know, but that was like an unregulated thing, which is nothing wrong with it, because it's a taught, like you've taught before, it's taught.
It's generational.
Yeah, it's generational.
It's just the way that our parents were parented a certain way.
Exactly.
And they will parent that way. But the more we move forward, the more we learn more about the mind, the more we understand more about child development, and which was my first career. I spent 20 years teaching early childhood and human development, so that sort of sits hand in hand.
Another
now.
Tick to your expertise, really.
And I work with mums, so it helps because I understand around early attachment and regulation and self-regulation. And there's a guy called... do you want me to talk about this a little bit? So there's a guy called Dr. Dan Siegel.
Yes.
And he talks about
I love him.
Flipping your lid. And he has a great hand model.
Yes,
which teaches parents how to, and children actually, so your little boy at 8 would understand.
Yeah, it's the hand.
So there's a hand model he uses where he explains how... the brain works. So sometimes we refer to it as the downstairs brain and the upstairs brain.
Yeah.
Or sometimes we call it the reptilian brain, which is the downstairs brain.
Yeah.
And that's where all of our emotions sit.
Yeah.
And so when we're triggered and we begin to be, you know, begin to get dysregulated by whatever experience we're having, whether it's a child or whether it's an adult, it's within that amygdala area of the brain. That down at the bottom part of the brain, that's where all the emotions sit, that starts to trigger.
Uh-huh.
And it's never the situation you're in that's making you trigger. It's triggering a memory of a previous experience where you felt this emotion.
Yeah.
So a lot of people go, oh, that made me feel whatever. No, it reminded your brain of a time when you felt like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so it triggered you again.
Yeah.
You know, and again, that's why getting present and gaining a greater level of conscious awareness is important, because you recognize your triggers.
Yes.
And you can calm yourself in the moment.
Yeah.
And stay calm in the chaos of the moment.
Yes.
Stay regulated, regardless of what the other person's doing. And that's really important for our health and well-being.
Yeah.
Because we know the long-term impact of stress.
Yeah.
On the body, on mm-hmm. the heart, on the mind.
Yeah.
You know, and so it's really important that we learn some tools and techniques to calm ourselves.
It's right. And you speak of, you know, and it's true, we do exercise on our body. Like, you know, we want to keep our body healthy, so we exercise and we walk or we go to the gym or we mm-hmm. do whatever it is that we do to keep the physical aspect of it,
yep.
our body in shape. Yet our brain is a muscle, right? You know?
Well, I mean, it sort of works in a similar way. Like when you go to the gym, because you think, oh, I'm going to go to the gym and I'm going to get a six-pack. You can't go to the gym and do a couple of sit-ups and walk out and yeah. say, I've got a six-pack.
No, so Peter Andre there.
I wish. So it's same with the mind. You can't say, I want to make changes to my habits of thinking
yeah.
and expecting one day you're going to change that habit completely.
Yes.
It takes repetition, because that's how the subconscious mind learns.
Yeah.
It learns through repetition, which is why we need it, because yeah. it's really important, because had we not had that, then we wouldn't know how to walk or sit up. We'd have to learn it every day all over mm-hmm. again, whereas we don't, thank God. So the subconscious mind learns on around repetition. So that's how habits are formed.
Yeah.
So if we can form and create habit that doesn't serve us, we can form and create a habit that will serve us well.
So true.
In exactly the same way, yeah. through repetition.
And also, I heard once something that was really interesting, and it just reminded me of it, which was about just changing a word. So you having a habit of changing a word. So, for example, I might think, oh, I have to take Jared to AFL tonight.
Mm.
But if I change that word from I have to to I get to.
Yeah. I have the pleasure of. Yeah.
You're just changing that,
mm-hmm.
just a couple of words or one word even,
yeah.
and actually the whole mindset of that thing that you were really niggling about, like, I don't want to do it. It's always like, oh my God, I actually get to do this.
Yeah.
You know, and you can just, even changing thoughts is just as powerful, you know, it really is.
Yeah. I mean, words hold energy.
They do.
Whether we think them, whether we say them, whether we write them.
Keep telling my partner that.
Yeah, they do. They hold energy, you know, and it's exactly as you say. If you use that expression, oh, I have to, like it's a chore,
yeah,
it's going to feel like a chore. If you can change it to, I have the pleasure of taking my healthy little boy to a game of soccer or whatever exactly. it is that he loves to do, how amazing is that?
And I get to watch, yeah, and
I get to see it.
And it works, because I can say from experience, you know, I'm definitely not the most perfect mother, but I'm a good one. Like, I would say that I'm a good one. And I have to work at being a good one every day, because sometimes, guess what? I do things that I'm, like, not always like, oh, I could have done that differently, you
For
know.
Sure.
But it is the journey. Yeah. And it
we
is,
all do.
Yeah. Mm. And the other thing that you obviously teach and suggest doing is a meditation. Now, I struggle with meditating.
Mm.
I've only ever had one moment, which yeah. we talked about earlier, where I was like, whoa, something does
that
happen.
That was in Women Rising.
It was in Women
circle,
Rising.
Wasn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. yeah.
Mm.
And that was like my only time where, because prior to that, I'll be honest, I'd just think like, oh, did I do that washing? Did I get it out of the washing machine? Like, I can't
yeah.
be in the moment.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
And I suppose that brings us back, really looking at Joe Dispenza's work again, because he yeah. talks about the mind. It's a bit like a bucking bronco.
Okay.
It's got such a habit of bouncing all over the place all of the time. And what you're doing is now retraining it. Settle down, calm down.
Yeah.
And it's a deeper conversation, maybe for another podcast, but, you know, you are not your mind.
Yes.
That's not you. That voice in your head is not you.
Yeah.
It goes all day long for all of us. But it's about noticing where you don't notice that voice in your head.
Yeah.
What are you doing? When are you in flow? When are you present?
Yeah.
When are you quiet? And meditation, the word meditation makes people think it's hard and it's something
yeah.
that only great teachers and gurus can do or whatever.
Or Russell Brand.
Well, I suppose you want to look at it that way, maybe. But meditation is something that we do all of the time without even knowing that we're doing it, because we may be daydreaming. And sometimes I will apply this to people asking about hypnosis, because I do hypnosis.
Yeah.
And I'll say we go in and out of it all the time. So it's when you're engrossed in, say, a good movie,
yeah,
or a good book, or you're painting and you love painting or drawing or whatever, you are in flow.
Yeah.
You are present.
Yeah.
That's like meditation. It's quiet. The mind is quiet and you're just doing what you're doing.
Oh, so yeah, okay. Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So it doesn't have to be sitting down,
yeah,
closing your eyes and listening to somebody guiding you through a meditation.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be that. It can be your choice. So it can be complete silence, sitting by the ocean.
Just taking time out.
Exactly. It can be looking at a flower. If you look at Eckhart Tolle's work, he will often use a flower and he will say, take 10 minutes to just look at it. Just observe it.
Yeah.
Look at the different colors in it. Look at the patterns in it.
Mm-hmm.
And he also says one breath is a whole meditation, which I like.
Yeah.
So he
that's
says...
That's easy for me then.
Exactly. So that's what Eckhart Tolle says. You know, one full breath is a meditation.
Yeah.
And one full breath after another, after another, after another becomes a 5-minute meditation, really,
oh,
doesn't
wow,
it?
Yes. Yeah, that's brilliant.
And you've done 5 minutes.
Yeah.
So you just sit in your car and you do the conscious breath work or whatever breath feels comfortable for you.
Yeah.
And you've done a meditation.
Yeah, that's true, isn't
it's
it?
It's just perspective and looking at it a little bit differently. So, yeah, but as I mean, there's lots of people that I love in terms of meditation, but Joe Dispenza is one, and I mean, obviously I write meditations and I do presentations, and there's lots of others, and I can give you a list of a few if you like, and
yeah,
you can share some of those.
Yeah.
So there's the breath work, the meditation, and journaling is another, I think, really powerful tool. And
mm-hmm,
for me, it was a really powerful tool. And to not, some people like to just journal their day, you know, what have they done and what's happening in their life, which is fine.
Yeah.
And if they love that and enjoy that, that's great for them. But the journaling I teach is gratitude journaling.
Yeah.
And I teach it in a certain way because we can become complacent with that as well. And we can fall into a habit of doing that like just a chore.
Yeah.
So if we want it to really make a difference, because gratitude is one of these emotions that is hugely beneficial and powerful for us in our lives, that when we live our life in a deeper state of gratitude, everything is different. We are less stressed. We are less triggered.
Yeah.
And we are less likely to look for the negative, that we will see the positive, that we will begin to see more possibilities and opportunities when we live life in a state of gratitude and appreciation.
Yeah.
So the way that I teach it is every night, I say night just because that works for me, but you can do it in the morning, we write 3 things down that we're grateful for, but we write it in a statement today or tonight. I am grateful for, and you write that down. And you stop. And you go back into the emotion of the gratitude,
mm-hmm,
in that moment. So perhaps you're grateful for having, you know, I know the other week you went out with your little lad for dinner,
yeah,
like a mum and
he bought me
son
dinner
date, which was beautiful.
He thinks he bought me dinner.
That's all right.
I mean, he got his money out of his
aww
pot.
Yeah.
And
bought you dinner.
Then I put it back in his pot. But like, you know,
absolutely.
Yeah, he did.
So it can be something like
that.
So you might write down, today I am, you know, you might write deeply grateful or whatever for the dinner that I enjoyed with Jared.
It's funny because
okay,
I did write that in my grateful journey.
So I guess the one difference is, I guess with the ladies that I work with, is I'll say to them, right, now put your pen down. Now go back in your mind into the moment as you sat across the table from Jared and you had a conversation or you had a laugh about something and you truly appreciated this relationship with your son.
Yeah.
So you go back into the emotion of the gratitude and then you write the next thing and you do the same and the next thing and you do the same. The next, well, I guess rule about it,
rule.
This is the way that I teach it. I don't know what else to call it. Guideline, I suppose,
yes,
is better. you cannot repeat from the day before.
Yeah.
So you're not able to write, I'm grateful that I'm healthy. I'm grateful that I'm healthy over and over again.
Yeah, you can't say the same thing. No. Yeah, you've got to be grateful.
Every day is three different things.
Yeah. And it could even be as simple as, because I mean, I do what you're saying now. Mm. I practiced it. It was probably one of my favourite ones to do, if I'm honest. Mm. And, you know, it can be as simple as, like, you know, I saw, like, a bird and it just hovered around for ages and I was watching that bird and I was just grateful to see the bird just there. Right. It was that simple.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it doesn't have to be about a moment. It can just be something that you witnessed.
Exactly. It can be somebody passing you in the street and just giving this beautiful smile to you. And you're like, oh, wasn't that nice, you know? Or somebody says, why did you buy your dress? I love how that looks on you. Just a compliment or an acknowledgement. You know, and it's just, it can be a million things.
Because it can make you feel really good. Like, I wash my hair and people go, oh my God, your hair's lovely. Do you have extensions in? I'm like, no, I just washed it. Thanks so much.
Yeah, but it feels nice, doesn't it?
It does.
And to be grateful for that. And I have had a few clients along the years who have sometimes struggled around what can they be grateful for.
Yeah.
Because their life has been really, really tough.
Yes. Yeah.
And I have said to them, gently and lovingly, are you able to hear me as I speak to you?
Yeah.
And they say yes. I said, are you grateful for the fact that you can hear me clearly?
Yeah.
And they go, oh yes, I am, you know.
Yeah.
Are you grateful that you have a device that you can connect with me on?
Yeah.
Otherwise we wouldn't be able to have this conversation.
Yeah.
So then they begin, it opens up the doorway for them to, oh right, so now they start to see things that they can be grateful for.
Yeah, that's really true. And I think, like, in terms of like just being able to every single day know that, and you've talked about this very, very often, about every day just waking up is a gift.
It is, absolutely. That nothing is guaranteed in this life. Your next breath is not guaranteed.
Exactly.
So you need to be grateful for sure.
Mm-hmm.
You need to be grateful, and this work has to be a daily practice.
Yes.
You cannot do this once a week and go, like, you go to a yoga lesson or whatever.
Once.
You cannot.
Yeah.
Daily practice.
And would you say that it's just, even if you can find one of these things, whether it be meditation, breathwork, or journaling, if you do them consistently in your experience, you know, with life coaching and all of the foundations that you have for Sister Circle and stuff, if you just picked one to commit to, so say you were a bit overwhelmed, for example, with the idea of doing
all three, it's too much,
but you say, okay, well, I just want, you know, even our listeners, just commit to one. The one that you feel is going to give
well one
you...
that resonates for them, perhaps. You know, because some people say, oh, I don't really want to do the breath work, I'd rather do journaling, and that's fine. Pick something. Because your intention is not to change overnight, but to change over time.
Yeah.
You know, so it's a bit by bit, a step by step, because as we said before, you're changing the steps of the dance of your habits.
Yeah.
So by introducing a new positive habit into your life and committing to that daily for, I always say 30 days, because that 30-day mark is a good mark. It's about the time that we feel the shift.
Yeah.
You know, and it just makes all the difference in the world. And as one works, then you may find that you're now ready to add another.
Yeah.
You know, or you may not, and you may do just breath work for 3 months. Fine.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. It's just about choosing what you'd like to do. And for lots of the women I've worked with, I mean, some of them have chosen to go for a walk after work in the park. That's their thing.
Yeah.
And that's fine too.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what it is. Is it quiet? Does it help you be present? Does it make you feel calm? Do you feel more relaxed?
Yeah.
A nice warm bath? A long shower? Whatever. Choose something.
Jackie, it has been so amazing to have you here at Y-Hub today, where we've recorded this episode on obviously just being present and being a woman who's a mum or who's a carer or whatever the case may be.
Mm.
You may even be a man that's gotten something out of this, because it really does, I feel like a lot of these topics that we've talked about will resonate with a lot of our listeners. And so I am eternally grateful for you giving your time to me and Kathy, sadly, even though she's not here, for putting this wonderful episode together. So thank you immensely.
You are very welcome. And it's been great. Really yeah. fun. I enjoyed talking to you.
Yeah, me too. And I highly recommend anybody who may be in that self-doubt or stuck or has lost a bit of perspective, or they're transitioning and they just need to find sort of like a direction with that transition, that they reach out to you. So we will put some links yep. to your services on our pages and on our socials. And on that, if any of the audience has got any questions, either to myself or Kathy, or indeed to Jackie Rowe, then please do reach out on the socials. And don't forget to like and subscribe to keep Coffee with Kathy and Claire alive. Thank you very much, Kat. Thank you.
Thank you.
Just wanting to finish off with thanking our audience for obviously their time and listening to this episode. I think it's been really exciting to share journeys, and we encourage anybody who has some additional journeys of their own to reach out either by messenger or email, whichever suits you best. We are really excited about the thoughts and throwback on this episode, and I look forward to the next one with Coffee with Kathy and Claire. Thanks again for listening. Bye.
Thank you for listening, guys. You can find us on all the socials, including Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok.
Just search for Coffee with Kathy and Claire and make sure that you follow and subscribe.
Love you all.
Bye.